Raf and I had a guest on a few weeks ago, Lawrence Baldessaro, and he wrote a book about baseball Italian style. And I read the book, and all of a sudden there's a great story about an Italian baseball player. That's the point of the book, Joey Amalfitano. And Joey is one of the roving instructors for the Giants. He's 83 years old, but he was a bonus baby back in the 50s. And he's been a Giant. He was with the Houston Colt 45s for a while. He's managed the Cubs and other situations. He's a third base coach for the Dodgers. But he is a Giant through and through, and we see him all the time in spring training. So I read the anecdote and the stories in the book, and I said, I got to talk to him about how he got signed and the family, the Italian family and all that. And I thought it was a fascinating story. So Joey Amalfitano joins us, original bonus baby of the old New York Giants. It's a wonderful, rich story about, Joey, how you got in the game with your family background. Wait till you hear this, from Italy and your parents. I love this story, how you got signed.
Marty, my father was a commercial fisherman. He came over to the United States when he was 16 years old, all by himself. Took the boat across the channel in New York, and then took it was in Ellis Island for about 3 days, and then get on a train and headed for Los Angeles, and his uncle Sasso picked him up. And he went to San Pedro and started fishing. And then he bought, along with three other guys, they bought a fishing boat, and then they built their own. He was a very, very good fisherman. In fact, if there were Hall of Famers in the fishing business, my dad would be in it. And so my background, my mother was born here in the United States. A couple. My dad was a great guy, and he didn't quite understand baseball a whole lot. And when he come to watch me play, which wasn't often because he was always fishing, if you just struck the ball and hit it, he thought that was good. I said, no, you got to get on the bases and run around the bases. But you know, I'm going to tell you a real cute story. I think it is. The day I signed, I had to go down and get him on the boat. They were fixing the nets. And my mother at the time was ill. And he thought when I came there, he spoke broken English. And I couldn't understand Italian and speak it very little of it. And so I asked him, you know, you got to come home. He thought there was something wrong with my mother, and there wasn't. No, and I got him in the car, and I said, listen, I'm going to sign this contract, and I'm a minor, and you got to be there with me. Okay, so we got there, and I remember we went in the living room, and we never went in the living room until it was a holiday, because the Italians, which we are, there's plastic on everything, you know? So we went in there, and he had his work fisherman clothes on, and then I signed his contract and took him back down to the boat. And as we were going, we passed by this duplex where I was born, in this duplex, which is about two blocks from the house we were living in. Just about then he asked me in Italian, he says, how much money did you sign for? And I told him, and he said, America's a great country. Yes, he did. Yeah, he did. He was he became a citizen. And like I said, he was a very good fisherman. He was one of five boat owners that caught fish for Starkist Food, which at that time was called French Sardine. Then it was named Starkist Foods. And they honored these five guys one evening at a dinner. And my dad came home with that wristwatch, which my brother got from him. He was very proud. He thought he won the Academy Awards. Yeah, he really did. He was very proud.
Boy, what a great story. I love this. And I can say this. You got about $35,000 to sign with the Giants.
To the penny. $35,000, yeah. That's tip money night for the guy in the men's room. Yeah, but it was nice.
Well, we'll be handsy. But it put you in the big leagues, and that was the best part.
Well, I don't know about that part, Marty, because with the rule then, if you received over $6,000, you had to not only be on the 40-man roster, you had to be on the 25-man roster, which really saddled DeRocher, who was the manager. I never played, and rightfully so. You know, I wasn't ready to do that. The only good thing about that 2 years was I did watch a lot of baseball, good baseball, and I could see what I had to do in order to play at that level. So when I went to the minor leagues, I had that foundation, at least I believe I did.
Yeah.
And so I worked and I got back. And, and you know, they talk about the roster's not big enough at DeRocher. We won in 1954 with then the New York Giants. Okay, we had myself and Paul Giel. He joined us in June after the University of Minnesota. He graduated, and he was saddled with two of us, so he actually only had 23 guys. So that was that's very difficult to do, you know, it really is. Yeah, I don't know how, you know, I didn't know then, but maybe I know a little bit more now. After 64 years, I think I know something.
But the Italian players on the team took care of you. Johnny Antonelli, Sal Magley.
Oh, yes, Sal Magley, definitely. Yeah, and John. When we went on the road, if we played a day game, you can go to the bank that I was with them at night at dinner. I was with them, yeah. They didn't leave me out of my sight, yeah.
Did you speak Italian?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. All right, now you become a third base coach with the great Italian Tommy Lasorda, and this is a great story, too.
Well, we're in Cincinnati at the old ballpark, not the new one, and, you know, that dugout, you can almost touch the foul line at third base. So I don't know why he did this, but he would do this on occasion, I never did understand that either. He would change the signs from him to me in the middle of a game. I never quite, and I didn't particularly care about that. Because it's difficult enough that you're over there and you can't. Anyway, long story short, I said, hey, listen, I'm going to give you the signs in Italian. I'm going to just yell it out. And we had a fun day that day. Yeah. Yeah. But that I don't know what behooved him to do that stuff, but that was him. You know, he liked to have fun. Yeah.
Well, the story I heard was, you know, the question was whether the sign was on again. And he told you in Italian, screamed out in Italian, and you could say it on the air. Go ahead.
Well, no, I don't remember all that stuff, but yeah. Hey, listen, when Tommy would get upset or displeased with something, I could tell by his face that he was upset because his eyes used to pop out of his head, and that neck of his would blow up. But we got along real well. I'll tell you why, Marty. And I shared this with him, and he always said to me, he says, you're loyal and you're honest, Joe, which means a lot to me, okay? Cause, and I told him, Tommy, I don't want your job and you don't want mine. And that's why we really got along real well. Not because we're Italian. It's because of the respect I had for him and what he did and did so well. I know people are like, well, who you know to get this job? Who you know that? Listen, when that phone call came to me from Al Campanis and offered me that job, yeah, that was really a great time for me because I was in San Pedro, which is the port of Los Angeles, my family, my friends, and being able to coach over there and win more games than you lose, it's kind of a nice thing.
Did your dad ever see you play in the big leagues?
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, he came down in the minor leagues to watch me play when we went to Denver. Eddie Stanky was our manager. And then in the big leagues, yeah, he came to Dodger Stadium, yeah. You know, actually, then what he did, he didn't like flying. He didn't like that. We went to New York again, okay. He came and he took the train all the way back there. We won the thing in four games. He no more took the train. He had to take the train back, but he wouldn't fly.
You know, the other story, Stoneham put you on the list to be drafted by the Houston Colt 45s because originally he had Billy O'Dell on the list.
Yeah, right.
And then they took Billy O'Dell off and put you on.
That's true. At the last minute, Alvin Dark was the manager. I don't know what happened, but yeah, I went to Houston and I didn't play very well there. I guess I left my heart in San Francisco, huh? But, and then San Francisco in 1962, they went to the World Series, and that was a difficult series for me to watch because I think I would have been on that team. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it was an opportunity for me at Houston, but I didn't seize the opportunity.
Well, you're one of the few that played in Colt 45 Stadium. Come on, how about that?
Yes, we did. And that place there, they put it together quickly. It wasn't the best ballpark in the world for the time they had, though. They put it together. It was pretty nice. But awful hot there in the summer. I can remember Ernie Banks hitting a triple. Actually hit two. The second one, they had to carry him off the field. He was done. We were playing the Cubs. That team was a pitching and defensive team. We had very few guys, which I like to say, Marty, could hit the warning track. I mean, I'd have to pick it up three times to hit the warning track. So we had Ramon Martinez and Mejias. Yeah. Not Martinez. What am I talking? That's the pitcher.
Walter Bond?
I don't know. No. Not that first year. I don't believe that, no.
Jim Pendleton?
No.
All right. No.
Maybe you're right. I don't know.
I don't know. Can't remember. Yeah,
I don't. That's 100 years ago.
But, you know, I'm glad we did this, and I'll wrap it up with this. You know, you want to, as Felipe always says, show me the man first and the player. And knowing your family background and what it took for your father to make it in this country and for you with respect for your family and for the family to be involved in your signing shows me the kind of young man you were and how good you were and why the Giants would invest that kind of money in you. So I think we learned something.
Yeah, well, I owe that a lot to my parents, my foundation, and my religious belief. I'm Catholic, and I was taught by the Immaculate Heart Nuns in Grammar School, the Brothers of the Holy Cross in high school, and the Jesuits. I had the trifecta. And I don't know if the Jesuits, when I went to Loyola University, I don't know if they were Catholic, to tell you the truth. But, no, my background is pretty solid. Yeah. I think it is. Yeah.
Joey, thank you so much. A pleasure.
Always a pleasure to be with you. Nice to see you again.
Thank you. All right.